Mona, what's that? This is the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith, speaking from the future about the past and the present. Check on your strong friends. Check on your friends, man. Say hey, say bye, call them up, hit them up. See how everybody doing. It's a crazy time out there. If you miss somebody, say hey. No neglect. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Listen up and enjoy these words. You can follow me at Maniacal Menace on Instagram or maniacalmenace.com. That's ManiacalMenace.
I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
There it is. All right.
Is he registered?
Yeah, right. It shouldn't be a big deal. But
is that what your podcast is about?
It's Tell Me a Joke. It's called Tell Me a Joke, The Guideline of Chasing a Dream. Basically, there are no jokes told, just real life stories that might happen to be silly or depressing, depending on how it goes. And basically, it's just a guideline for people that are dream chasers out there, people that are actually looking into a craft that they want to do, and if they don't want to work anymore and they want to just pursue their whatever they think they can make their money and be prosperous from. Basically, this is me going out talking to my friends that are actually doing so. So, the guideline of chasing the dream. And everything that I take in from other people is kind of like little tidbits of a guideline, since there is no fucking rule book on how to do this and how to become successful from it. You know, you can watch other people do it, but that's their life. It's not yours. So, you know, and tell me a joke, something as a comic that we all hate to hear. And it's just terrible. So to have it as an oxymoron to say, tell me a joke, and we don't really tell jokes at all on here besides whatever comes about during normal conversation.
That's the joke.
Yeah, there you go. So what's up, god damn it, welcome back to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, The Guideline of Chasing the Dream. I'm your host, the Maniacal Menace. Next to me, I have the you remind me of a roadie type rocker type guy that's just having to shoo women away, you know, as you walk with your guitar case in your guitar. Toby O'Brien, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
How's it been, man?
It's been good, man. We've been doing a lot of stuff in the studio lately. Trying to get my acoustic demo album done.
Yeah, will this be your first one?
This will be my first strictly solo thing. I had a project that I was working on back in college when I was in a band in college, and then out of college I was with my then girlfriend. We had a little side group called Eastern Grey, which is a lot of I wrote the songs, and then she was an amazing violinist. Still is amazing.
Yeah.
And piano player and singer. So she helped me out with that, but this will be my first solo kind of endeavor.
So what is your instrument of choice? Is guitar?
Yeah, instrument of choice is guitar. I play electric too, but mainly for the solo stuff, I found that the acoustic was kind of where I was at.
That's kind of your thing.
I've written a lot of songs that I think sound better if it has a full band, but mainly just at the moment, just doing the solo stuff.
Well, that's awesome. How long have you been playing music for?
I got a guitar when I was 12 years old because I wanted girls to talk to me in middle school.
Ah, there you go.
Because from everything that I'd seen on television, it seemed to work, but the tragedy was I went to Catholic school and I was 12. And so I got a guitar school. And I was bragging about it. I was I got a guitar. I got a guitar for Christmas.
And so was that your growing up? Were you always pursuing to be some type of musician? Was that your thing? Like, how was your upbringing?
Well, my upbringing, so my mom taught at the Catholic school that I went to, and I went there from first grade to 12th grade, and we're not Catholic.
Oh, shit.
So I just had to, like, get graded. Oh, I just got, like, grades and guilt and everything else that goes with Catholic school. But at first I was, like, kind of, like, in the sports. I remember, like, sixth grade, because everybody else was trying out for football. I wanted to play football, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I played that until I was about in, like, ninth grade. And I stopped playing football because I was clearly the biggest and the strongest, and I wanted the other kids to have a chance. I wanted the other kids to have a chance.
You eat meat on Fridays. They get it up for Lent.
Everybody else grew up, and I was still a small boy for a long time. And in seventh grade, I was in a play. I was in Wizard of Oz. My mom was the director of the plays at school.
Seems like she was very hands-on.
I was a flying monkey, and I guess all the the hyper energy that I was feeling, I think that was more my speed. So I hung up my cleats and I traded it for the stage, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I started doing plays in high school, and around the same time I got a guitar. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll be either like a movie star or a rock star, because that's going to make my parents feel at ease. Yeah. And I don't know. Then I started writing songs after I was like, oh, well, I have to learn how to play the guitar if any girl is going to talk to me. I can't just say I have one. So I started writing songs, and I started listening to, like, I mean, a lot of the same music I still listen to now. Like, mm-hmm. bands like Modest Mouse are huge in the influence of where my songwriting was going. It's just I didn't have, like, any sort of life experiences to go off.
Yeah.
I was, you know, 13. But those kind of grew into more and more things as my music taste expanded, too. And then I started getting more practice under my belt and started playing, like, more live shows when I was in, like, ninth grade.
Uh-huh.
And now I've just been playing whatever gigs I can since then.
Did you take lessons, or did you just, like, teach yourself?
So in seventh grade, I took two... I took 2 weeks of lessons from this guy that worked at, like, this music store. And
2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks of lessons. It was, like, and by 2 weeks, I mean it was, like, once a week.
Ugh.
So I went twice.
So you went twice.
And, like, the best thing he did was he printed out, like, a chord diagram for me. And he taught me that I have to press the strings into the guitar to make the sound happen.
Right.
I didn't even know that. And then he was, like, he whipped out, like, Wonderwall. I was, like, all right.
My Wonderwall.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, I learned it.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm going to kind of focus on my own with this right now.
Oh, so from then on, you were just like, fuck it, I got
it. Yeah,
I
basically taught myself.
Jesus.
But he helped me out with the basic chord patterns and
stuff. Now, is that just like playing every day, or?
That was kind of, yeah, especially like in high school where, you know, I had like a lot of pent up angst and
mm-hmm.
all sorts of other things, and I think the guitar was a big saving grace and like letting me get frustration out and channeling it into a creative way rather than channeling it into any other way that other kids were doing at the time.
Because
they were like playing football, and it's like, oh, I get to hit people today, and I didn't do that. So
I'm different. Let me do it this way. Yeah, I've recently gotten a bass, but I don't think I really
electric?
Need. I really need to actually have some type of structure. Like, teaching myself is fine, but I don't feel as if I'm getting anywhere because it's just like me in the room, and I'm like, all right. You know, I can't really see the progression unless somebody is there to be like, hey, yeah, now you've gotten better. It seems like I need some type of justification
from someone. I think it's also harder to teach yourself once you get into an older age, because I think the difference between like teaching yourself guitar when you're like 13 is that
You don't have much else to think about besides that.
And you don't have to necessarily like put yourself off because you're not good at it immediately, which is something that I feel now if I try to learn something new.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to teach myself piano. I'm just like, this is frustrating. I want to see what's in the fridge.
That's exactly what it is. It's like, God damn it, I can't play like this shit.
And then I beat myself up over it. Yeah. It's like, that's also keeping me from being in front of the thing I want to practice, is that I'm just like, constantly at war with whether or not it's worth it.
Right.
It's like, of course it's worth it. Stop making up excuses. But those you're old now. And
yeah, you get, and there's more excuses. You're good at excuses
the older you get. The decision to not do something is so much better than the decision to do something.
It's like justification. I'm gratified now that I didn't do this. Like, it would have been difficult, boy, but if I would have started a long time ago, at least I would be somewhere. And it's like, ah, fuck it, I got other things to think about. Yeah. Right. It's easy just to put it aside when you get older now. And that's like, to keep on going, what makes you keep doing this?
I don't know. I think this is like, it's one of those weird things where I feel really comfortable on stage.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like where I like come alive the most, I suppose.
Right.
And I think that that's like, you know, I think that you can probably attest to that as well as a comedian and a performer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we have, you know, at least in our minds, that are a way of like captivating an audience to share with them the thing that we love to do the most.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why like I love playing live shows, and I'm constantly like on edge about like playing in like a recording studio when I don't have an audience.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then it's just me focusing on myself. And it's not that I'm focused on the audience. It's like, this is the moment where I get to share something that means the most to me. And to see them respond positively.
I like that reaction.
The reaction is the best. And I think, because I also went to school, I went to college to be an actor.
Mm.
So I felt that on the other side of like doing plays and like, I was really big into Shakespeare. And really edgy sort of.
Like, you fit that persona.
As edgy as plays
you,
can
you
be.
So fit that persona still.
There's this play that we did in college called Suburbia, which is just about like a bunch of like out of high school like hooligans that hang outside of a 7-Eleven. And I'm like, I did that. You wrote a play about me.
Yes.
And it's always kind of cool to see that. And then at the same time in college, there was also like the musical theater kids. And,
yeah.
Like what they could do is so much more, I would say like impressive in the way of like how like, you know, how much goes into doing a musical theater piece, like dancing and singing and everything else. I think that I found it campy, which was one of the reasons I kind of hindered myself from doing it, which I kind of live now to sort of regret. So I think that art and plays and music and everything else, like, yeah, sure, like, it can come from, like, a place of pain.
Yeah.
And it's good art when it does.
Right.
But, like, shit, it's also supposed to be for fun,
too. Yeah.
And if you're just gonna keep taking on, like, these, like, roles where it's like, no, I'm, like, wife abuser or something like that, and you have to play this character, and you just like end up like, oh, I feel terrible about myself afterwards. Right. You're just
you have to get into that.
It's
mode.
Like they just did Hello Dolly and they're all smiling and stuff. I didn't get that musical at all, but they were having a great time.
Yeah.
And they still did something incredible.
It's so wild. My ex, she was in musicals and stuff like that, and she did hair and everything, and it, like, I've seen how it changed that group of people that she was with as she was doing that, like, it changed them completely. Mm-hmm. Like, because they're all young still, so just to see that world from that point of view and then actually having to act it out and go through it like that, like, right. you see how it changed certain people, and certain people it stuck with them, but My ex, she was just like, what's going on? I'm like, man, this is life right here. Like, you know, she was so sheltered and so coddled by her parents that she never really ventured off into into actual life, like how you can be just free. Like, I'm like, you're an adult now. You can do what you want. You know, you can, like, once you get to this point, like, if you feel like going somewhere, if you got the money to do it, you can go do it. Ain't nobody can stop you.
Right.
And it's like the floaters are off. Like, you can go swim freely now. And, like, she didn't it finally dawned on her at that point in time that she was free. And, like, she started to cry. I was like, oh, no, don't cry.
Live with this moment.
Yes, that. This is good. I'm glad that you feel that. Now that you can feel free, you can be who you want to be.
Exactly.
And, yeah, most people don't understand, like, that's a part of life, actually being you. Like, not right. having to be other people on stage or however you perceive people should be. Like, yeah, what you see on social media, that's that life. Don't worry about that. Be your own self. Be your own person. And like most people don't realize that they can be themselves.
I completely agree. I was thinking about that the other day. That, you know, there's like a lot of like actor friends of mine, they'll be like only thinking about like what their next role is gonna be. And, like, you know, constantly beating themselves up if they don't, like, get it. It's like, I get the idea of, like, just living to perform and stuff like that. But if you're going to be, like, an artist, like, a really, you know, well-rounded one, I think you also have to be, like, a pretty well-rounded individual as a person without that.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to play certain roles if you've never been a person before?
Right.
You've only been what the script is telling you to be or anything else. I think that going through your own personal experiences that have nothing to do with music or acting or anything, that is what really is going to shape us.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be remembered for a song that I wrote. I want to be remembered for who I was.
Yeah.
Who happened to also write that song.
Right,
or something,
exactly.
You know what I mean? I think the challenge a lot with that is that they get so comfortable with that sort of like structured professional lifestyle that eventually they'll end up, I mean, hopefully not, but some end up just resenting the whole thing entirely.
Yeah. Oh,
and then they'll
God.
Quit. Then they'll just quit the game.
It feels like
I
all
think
the
for
work
me, that's one of the reasons
that
I've stuck with this for so long is that I've given myself plenty of opportunities to have other jobs, experience other places, live in different places.
Definitely gotta, like, live your life just to be who you want to be in life. You gotta live it. You gotta actually go out there and be that person that you feel you are, because
it's like if you shelter yourself from heartbreak for like your whole life, it just means that when it does finally happen, it's gonna beat
hurt
the
like a
shit out of you.
It is gonna hurt like a motherfucker.
It's gonna just kick your ass.
Yeah,
and
That's always fun to
luckily
see somebody
I was,
that
luckily
hasn't
I was
been
like,
through
no,
it.
I was like no stranger to misery for like, you know, I was like, I went to Catholic school. But like, I was able to like reason with it and anything else and I guess channel that into what makes my art and my music still pursuable.
Yeah.
Is that I'm constantly having new life experiences.
Yes.
And like even getting caught up in like the monotony of a day job and everything else, like these are still the things that shape us. It's who we are, and what we want to do is not always going to meet up at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
it gives you something to talk about.
But when it does, it's awesome.
It is beautiful. Like if I haven't been to places that I've been to, I probably wouldn't have the jokes that I have to tell. Like, so,
right.
Like, living life actually helps with the craft that you're trying to pursue.
Exactly.
That's where inspiration comes from. And I've gotten the places that I've been. Yeah, it'd be nice. I've always thought, you know, because some people, they just want to stay here in the city, which is good, which is cool. But I'm one of those adventurous people. I need to see. I need to see what the fuck else is out there. I want to see what's over the wall.
Like, I had to do it too.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't stay in Virginia.
Right.
Like, I lived in New York, and then I worked at a Renaissance fair in Pennsylvania.
Come on.
Yeah, man. Oh, all right. So I played a pirate at a Renaissance fair, and which doesn't like make a whole lot of sense as far as like what we think of like the timeline of like what kind of pirates we'd expect them to be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was our Renaissance era was set in like 1513 or something like that. And what we know of like pirates and Pirates of the Caribbean, that was until like the early 1700s.
Right.
So we were just a bunch of weird furry dudes that sang like sea shanties, told sex jokes, and did improv comedy.
Oh, and that sounds
fun. Like, we were like a music comedy group, and it was honestly the greatest fucking job I ever
had.
That
sounds like a very good time.
And like my girlfriend, she at the time, she got the job as like the female counterpart, which was like the mermaids.
Yeah.
So we'd have like a joint like pub show and just sing like really raunchy songs. All these people, and like this is in Pennsylvania and like Amish country.
Seems like the place.
So
to
we
have
had
it.
Like some of the like most bizarre like regulars like on weekends like come to our shows, and they like dressed as like, you know, their costumes almost put ours to shame.
Yeah.
But they were just patrons.
Oh, they were just ready. They were just like, oh, they're
gonna
they be
were just like,
up,
like, oh,
pirates.
Shit, it's Ren Faire season. They can like just dust off the coats and the hats and all that. And,
oh, that sounds like
oh,
a good
man, goddamn
time.
It was
time.
Just, and like they served a lot of alcohol at the Renaissance Fair too. So it's just a bunch of drunk pirate people walking around and like cosplayers and anything else. And we were paid to do what we were doing.
Right.
So it was really kind of a cool little connection, because when I was like in New York before that, you know, it would just be like regular people going to see a play.
Yeah.
Anything else. These Pennsylvania folks, they were avid participants.
Is that where you're from? Are you born?
No, I was born and raised in a suburb outside Richmond, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I, until I was like 18, then I went to college at Shenandoah Conservatory in Winchester.
Wow.
Yeah, Shenandoah. It's about like an hour outside D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I graduated college, I moved to Brooklyn, and I tried to be an actor and musician there. And I tried signing up for this open mic.
The journey.
And a lot of it was just because I was super into Bob Dylan at the time. I still like Bob Dylan a lot. But like, especially like his like freewheeling days where he was like trying to do like the folk revival thing in New York in the early 60s. And I was like walking around like Greenwich Village in like a tweed blazer and my guitar on my back and not doing anything with it. I'm just like, look at me looking
that's
the part.
I imagine that time, man. If I were to draw a picture of you, you would be
just
that guy trying to walk to the top
like
of the mountain.
Yeah. I was like, just look at how artistic I look.
Yeah, very much so.
I tried to do like an open mic, and I had to get there like an hour and a half early just to like sign up for
it. Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, ugh, this is weird. And then I did like... I did a play in Manhattan, and I was like, I did it. I acted on a stage in New York City.
Boom.
It wasn't a very big stage.
Uh-huh.
It was actually basically someone's glorified like attic that they made into a space,
that
but it was cool.
Adventurous.
And then, yeah, I was actually kind of pressured into auditioning for the Renaissance Fair, which I'm you know, really thankful for.
Did you do pirate stuff in the Renaissance?
Yeah, so my character was like this like first mate of this ship that we had to explain how we got into a landlocked place like Pennsylvania, and we came up with different answers each time. But we were basically like pirates that, you know, we're wearing like curtains that they made into like tunics and vests and stuff.
Yeah.
And I played the guitar, and we like learned a whole bunch of like.
Those shanty
songs.
Seafaring
songs and
nice.
Shit. And I had to grow out my beard. My beard grows in really red and really gross. And yeah, I remember like seeing myself in like pictures when I wasn't in my like Renaissance Fair garb, and I was just like, you know, just
normal
hanging out
Toby.
With this gross beard, and I was like, oh, this is not the best I've looked.
Yeah.
But I was having a good time.
Yeah.
Me and my friend Patrick, we got really into chopping wood, too.
Really good at chopping wood. What
yeah,
would y'all
there
have
was
to
like
chop
this,
wood
there was
for?
This, so we like we had like our like space that we stayed in. It was behind the Renaissance Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like these like they were like these stables basically that they made into college dorm room type buildings.
Really?
It was cool. It was really cool. And they had like a little common room with like a television, and outside we had like a burn pile and like benches and stuff like that around a little like field that we'd set up like a badminton net in, and a little like stand where we like throw tomahawks and throwing knives, because
some
of these
sounds
of these
like
cats like
camp.
Had worked at the Renaissance Fair for a while, so they like started becoming their characters like do even some Renaissance outside. Shit. So we got like we like practice with like bows and arrows in our spare time and shit like that.
That's
so
fun.
It was fun, man. It was a lot of fun, and we like. We would go up to this burn pile, load up my car with it, and bring it back down. And we'd just chop wood for, like, an hour and a
good
half.
Times.
And then we'd build a fire and have music around it, like, almost every night.
Yeah.
And it was... That was really kind of, like, a really marvelous job. The only thing about it was that I got paid $250 a week.
Oh.
That's not a whole lot of money.
No.
So, like, all of our money went to, like, groceries. Oh, but, Jesus. Like, luckily, we got to live there for free and...
Yeah.
Do all these other
things. You got to chop wood.
I got like so into it that I was like, maybe I'll give up on acting altogether and become a lumberjack.
Yeah, that's what you.
But I was like, I know there's no more money in that. I think what I wanted mostly was just to be like in the woods and chopping down trees. I gave up on that pretty quick.
Yeah, you got to worry about bears and other shit. You got to really start to hunt.
Yeah, but think about how
many...
No, I've never, like, been hunting. My dad took me, groundhog hunting.
Really?
With
a little .22 or something like that?
With a little .22.
That sounds
and
amazing.
He had, like... My dad, he likes guns. I don't really care. But we never, like, went, like... I was like, Dad, why don't you hunt deer? He's like, I don't like venison, so he doesn't hunt. I was like, that's a good excuse.
That is a very good excuse.
Because I don't really care for that lifestyle personally.
But he preferred groundhog.
But like, it was no, because like he was like one of his like clients or colleagues or something. He had like this like ranch in Virginia that he was like, no, they're like a pest, and we need to like do this to like tend to the field. And here's a fun way to do it.
This is dad's.
And like, it wasn't really my speed, but I was like, yeah, I'll hang out with my dad. And shoot animals. And I mean, it was really funny. Like, my dad is, he's a real estate and business lawyer in Virginia, but he's also like a fourth degree black belt in Aikido, and he has like a ton of other hobbies.
Goddamn.
He's like restoring old cars. He has, like, a woodworking shop in, like, the upstairs of his garage.
Yeah.
He, like, makes, like, handmade tools and stuff. Kind of like Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
You can kind of imagine him kind of like that. And I was taking my friend Steven on one of the groundhog hunting excursions. And we didn't see any until my friend Steven saw when we were driving around in this field. My dad pulled out a Glock.
Oh, my God.
And he did a drive-by on a groundhog.
Really?
I'm not even kidding.
He just shot...
He shot it
did
while
he, pick
he
it
was
up afterwards?
In a moving car. No, he just leave him there. I felt bad about the whole thing, but there was like a... It was kind of like a nice little bonding experience with my dad that...
That does sound fun.
And I was like 16 or 17 when we were doing it, so it was a...
Your dad was basically like a cool Steven Seagal.
Yeah, I would say so. I think my dad's almost a better actor than Steven Seagal is, though, even though he's never done anything like it.
Have you ever eaten groundhog?
No.
No?
Have you?
No.
No, we just kind of shot him. We're like, all right, we got like four. I hope that helps. And then we'd go home. But it was kind of cool. He had like this like really neat little like cabin, the guy that we'd stay at this place. And like they went like... They had, like, these other people that were staying there that, like, shot a whole bunch of pheasants.
Really?
So they're like, hey, we brought a whole bunch of pheasants. Do you and your boys want some?
Pheasants.
I was like, yeah, I'll eat them.
I've had pheasant before.
Pheasant, yeah.
Pheasant and rabbit, and those are delicious. But my dad, he used to take us, we used to go on vacations a lot. And one of the vacations that we went to, we went on a cruise, the dolphin cruise. And this is the first time I was on a cruise before, and I was very young, but he got escargot, and I was like, wow, he always likes to try new shit.
Yeah.
He always likes to try different things, and I don't mind, I'm like this now, I don't mind trying new and different shit, but back then, I didn't give a fuck for escargot. I didn't know that
right.
At that time, but I was like, oh, Dad, I want to try one, and, you know, it was just fucking the snails with the shells and everything,
yeah.
Just take them out and pop them in, and I was like, all right, and he gave me one.
And they're not bad.
Oh my god, I was just like, oh, I didn't like it's as soon weird. As I put as soon as I put it in my mouth, I was like, I don't like any of this. I spit it right back out on the plate. He got very upset.
Oh, because it's a delicacy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't want to see that on the plate. I was like, this is gross. How are you eating this?
Like, you know how much money that costs.
But I have eaten some weird shit. I've eaten like octopus tentacles and shit.
Oh yeah,
I've been to certain sushi places.
I ate crickets.
Where, oh yeah, how's that? Yeah,
it was at this like Mexican restaurant, and yeah, they had like all these like salsas, chips, and then like fried crickets, and I ate a whole bunch of them. They were not bad. They're really salty. It was basically eating like a weird chip.
A weird just like, crunchy
like a
chip,
weird,
so it
crunchy,
just kind of
like chip. It was bizarre.
Huh? Yeah, I haven't eaten too many weird shit, but.
Can you imagine like the person who first decided that snails could be something that we could eat?
Just somebody that was real hungry.
It's like
hungry.
You know, like steak had already been discovered. And
yeah.
Like, what else can we do?
A motherfucker.
Oh, see that little
really,
motherfucker
really
crawling
hungry.
Around.
Really hungry. I think that's what it is.
It's like, how do you like bring that? Like, I guess it was in France. It's like the guy's like, "Hey, just hear me out. It's not bad.
It's legit.
But I've been eating these snails." Like, that must have been a weird pitch.
That's gotta be gross. It's especially how you gonna cook them and shit.
Yeah. It was like, oh, you cook these? They're just eating them raw.
Well, I've realized that that hazelnut is just them little acorns, the little weird mushed up little acorns, like a little fat faced acorn. Yeah, that's you find all them all over the ground and shit.
Oh yeah.
It's like, well, how the fuck do you? So you could just be, can we just eat regular acorns like that? I've always thought about it, but
I tried to eat an acorn.
I had a weird friend that fucking tried to eat an acorn. He just peel it open and eat it. Yeah. I was like, that's gross, dude. I don't know if you're supposed to eat that like that. It's like, squirrels do it. I'm like, you're not a squirrel.
Yeah, but you're not a squirrel.
You're not a squirrel at all.
I hate that we have to keep having this conversation. Yeah.
when you play music, do you prefer, like, especially when, do you go to open mics often?
I did more when I first moved here. I haven't been to like an open mic in a while. Now that I like have like a decent amount of friends here that have shows and stuff like that I can either like kind of like hitch a ride onto or something.
Right.
Like,
well, nice.
And of course, I play at Redux a lot because Johnny and Russ are the
When you do play, do you prefer to play any covers, or you prefer to play your own music?
I'll whip out, like, 2 to 3 covers, depending how long my set is.
Yeah.
But mostly I just do original stuff. I've been writing for a long time, so I have enough songs that I, like, feel are squeezed out enough to be good to perform. A lot of it's, like, you know, I'll have the songs that I really like to play.
Yeah.
That I've written. And then there's other ones I just kind of, like, remembered. And I was like, well, maybe somebody else would want to hear it.
Right.
And kind of almost get their opinion on it. Because the solo shows are so intimate and everything else. But, yeah, it's mainly just the solo stuff and original stuff.
Huh. Dude, whenever you do play, do you, like, what type of music would you consider your music as being?
I guess it's sort of like the indie folk rock kind of, you know, subsection. I would kind of compare it to like Modest Mouse and bands like Bright Eyes. And it's very lyric heavy, I think, a lot of the time. Because I'm mainly just doing like rhythm guitar. I don't have like a whole lot of prowess and like doing like crazy.
Yeah,
like all over the fretboard stuff, and I come up with more like interesting and aggressive like rhythm patterns and like bends and stuff like that that, you know, I guess kind of speak for themselves a little bit, but it's kind of like mixing more like poetry with you know, music, I guess, what's the definition of a song is. But I don't know. It gets aggressive. It's like sad white boy music that I sing cheerfully. You know. It's basically it.
Yeah, you have a very melodic
luckily it's like
tone
a good there's
you.
A good crowd for it.
Uh-huh.
But like,
definitely. You know, there's always something for people down
sad
here.
Sad white people like my music.
Yeah, it is. Man, the show that we did, Smile Through the Sadness.
Great show.
With
great turnout.
With Toby and Kyle.
Good.
Man, that was a good
great
goddamn
night.
Time.
I still think about that. That was we're gonna do that again.
Yeah. That was fucking fun. Just music and poetry combined together in just a form that you probably won't see everywhere. That was a really good time.
That was a lot of fun because like it was cool where you did like some of your more like gripping serious poetry with it as well because. I didn't think it should have been just like you be funny, I'll be sad.
Right.
No. I wanted to both like have that sort of dynamic where it can be both at the same time.
Yeah, the versatility.
Like even when I'm doing my like you know music and stuff, like the lyrics are sad and everything else, but like I really enjoy performing.
Right.
And I think that can like kind of offset because I try to show that I'm enjoying performing.
Yeah.
And. And that can kind of offset. It's like, oh, that was a sad thing he said, but he's laughing. I was like, okay. So they get what I'm about, too. It's like, I'm not all, like, doom and gloom. That's just what I'm talking about. I'm actually quite cheerful.
Yeah, it worked out. It worked out perfectly.
Right.
It's like, oh, there's the mixture and the levels of it.
Yeah.
And where it took people. Like, you have this melodic story that's coming with the tunes and the vocals. And then you also have these words that'll put you in a place that's like, oh, I feel things now. Like,
right.
I'm more aware of culture and life now. It's like, yeah, there you go, good.
I think that what was cool about this, too, was that the things that we were going to perform, those were already prepared.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, your poetry and everything else. Like, mm-hmm. you know those poems and the comedy poetry off the top of your head. And
right.
I know songs off the top of my head. It was the stuff in between it.
Yeah.
Where we, like, you know, before we introduce our, like, next thing or whatever, that we get to, like, show that we're also being human beings and not just trying to, like, improv everything.
No, not
I mean?
Just mash it all together.
We come in with, like, you know, who we are as people and then showing them, like, what we like to do best.
The vulnerable point. And then, boom, here's where the vulnerability comes into... And
here's
and
why I'm vulnerable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, it's so good that things like that can come about, especially down here, especially when you, there's so much that there's so much culture and there's so much of a mix of many types of arts down here that why wouldn't people collaborate, you know? I don't think other people see that out there to where like something good can come from a collaboration of more than one genre of performance. And I think when it does come together it makes for a hell of a goddamn show.
Yeah.
So
100%.
Yeah. And it's been a fun little adventure, especially learning that just learning everything and meeting the new people and shit.
Well like so what was it like for you in LA?
It was nice. It was nice to be able to actually venture off and see like the world a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't never been around mountains and shit like that before and you know, different type of atmosphere.
They're pretty big.
Yeah. Fucking nigga, I ain't never been to a place where it don't rain. It's like that was wild, you know, just to be able to live out in something like that was fun, but you know, you still like I think the atmosphere and the scenery can be beautiful, but the people that make that area up, it's just like, oh.
That's the most disheartening part.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make you want to be there.
It was the same thing with New York.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I didn't like how this game was being run.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, once you see, like, all the behind the scenes, once you get in close to it, and it's like, oh, this won't be fun. Even if I did, like, get things going, like, this doesn't seem like the friendship from where I came from, you know.
Right.
I'm not gonna find it like that out here.
No.
Like I was capable of finding friends and shit and you know meeting people and being able to, like, subside with in that society out there. But it's just like, oh, ain't none of y'all have, not all of y'all have the mindset that I have. And
yeah,
I don't think y'all are going to get too far. I say, yeah, certain, some of y'all are already in and you understand that. And it's like, okay, I can see why you're here and why this gets you to this place, but I know I'm not gonna be there, and for me to get there, I'm gonna probably have to deal with some aggravating shit that I definitely don't want to deal with.
So, well, it's like, why do the thing that brings you joy if you're gonna subject yourself to the people that try to take the joy away from you?
Yeah,
and just like, you know, kind of like, it's almost like gaslighting us into thinking that this is what it means to be a success.
Right. I can definitely avoid all of this,
and I don't need that. Uh-huh. It's like, yeah, I could go to Los Angeles and be disheartened by, you know, what their expectation of me as a performer could be or anything like that. And
right.
Just because they're making more money doesn't mean that they're...
No, like, it doesn't right. mean that you're happy.
Do you know what I mean? Just and, like, look at all, like, these people that, like, do find, like, fame.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up being even more fucking miserable.
Yeah.
I kind of like still being able to work for it.
Right.
And, like, a town like this isn't really trying to take away the joy in what I'm doing.
No.
At all. It's actually been very encouraging. And I think that, first off, there's, like, no deadline to success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not really on the clock here. You can become the person that you want to be. Or you can just focus on the person that you are now.
Right.
And I think that that's the more enjoyable route, because you can spend your whole life chasing somebody else's idea of a dream and
yeah.
then feel fucking shitty when you realize it wasn't yours.
It wasn't yours at all.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you trying to follow, like, this person's
damn,
dream?
I wasted a lot of time. And
a
I don't
lot
think like
time.
And like I still feel like maybe I'm wasting time. You know, not doing more than I could be. And
mm-hmm.
and there's some truth in that. I should kick my ass into shape a little bit more
mm-hmm.
and like get more things done and more shows and, you know, making deadlines for myself, but that's gotta be all on me.
Yeah.
And I really hate, like, being at the mercy of, like, other people.
Yeah.
And having them try to measure my success by what's gonna go in their wallet is kind of obnoxious to me.
I don't mind being able to set my own pace at this.
Right.
Since it's a slow and steady pace. I mean, I can kick things into high gear whenever I need to, but to not have to actually rush certain things or having to have a deadline for certain shit, it makes it a lot easier. It makes me able to think about it as I'm doing it, instead of having to be like, oh, I need to do this now. Like, I have time to
mm-hmm.
actually think about it and get things done.
Exactly.
Yeah. Life lessons, goddammit.
Life lessons,
life,
man.
Motherfucking lessons. Nobody tells you how to do it, and it's just like,
you're never done learning.
Get out there and get it in.
Yeah. The thing that pisses me off is that I have to learn the same lesson like 4 times.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. That,
yeah.
Just get it.
It's never easy. It always comes in a different... It always presents itself in like a different outlook. You never see
it
the
were,
same
I think if it
all
were
the time.
Easy, it'd be boring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like the challenge, even if...
I don't mind having
even
to think
if
about
the challenge
this.
Is like, do I want to get out of bed?
Yeah.
You know, every day can be a new adventure.
I definitely don't mind having to think hard about certain shit. It makes me feel accomplished when I actually... I'm able to solve the problem.
Right.
Like, it's like, oh, I've I did it. All right. Feels good. Pat on the back. God damn it.
Yeah.
Well, man, this has been a good goddamn time, Toby.
This is actually my first, like, podcast interview I've ever done.
Yeah? Oh, you did amazing, man.
I followed the script and everything.
Oh, that's good. That's it. People need to learn things on how to get there and what you got to do to get it. It ain't easy.
I wrote all of my answers before I got here.
Oh, he studied. Awesome. Yeah, man, let everybody know where they can find you at and stuff.
You can find me at Bar Redux. But online, you can find a music page called easterngray.bandcamp.com that has... it features my ex-girlfriend, who's amazing on the album. And my album will be dropping in about, say, like a month.
Okay.
We'll probably have the demo done, and then we'll get back into the studio and get the full band in there, too. We got some big stuff planning for February.
Fuck yeah. All right. Cool shit. One last question.
Go for it.
If you had to have any of the Jokers to personify you, which Joker would it be? And you don't have to just pick one. You can categorize.
Out of like the actors that play Joker?
Yeah, that or just any. Well, not just specifically the actors, just any specific Joker itself. Who it could be the actor that played the Joker or just that particular Joker.
Probably the Heath Ledger Joker.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because, like, not that I would ever act on what he was acting on, but I kind of liked the idea of chaos at the time too. Mm-hmm. I actually haven't seen Joker with Joaquin Phoenix yet. I haven't meaning to though. It's been on my list. I just watched Uncut Gems. That was amazing.
Oh yeah, I need to check that out.
I haven't seen Joker yet. That's a good question. I like the killing joke.
Oh yeah, with the original origin of the Joker.
Right, I think that one's probably my favorite origin thing. I kind of like the Heath Ledger one where it doesn't have an origin. It's like, here's a crazy guy.
Yeah,
I'm all for it. Yeah. I think that's what would be more my speed. It's like, hey, here's some crazy guy.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I'm harmless.
Fuck yeah, that works perfectly. Well,
what about you? Shit. What Joker would you be?
At this point in time, I'm headstrong on the Joaquin Joker.
God, right, I want to see it so badly.
Yeah, just for the fact that schizophrenia and mental illness is that could be right up my alley. It's like. I do feel as if I'm multiple people.
Sure.
From time to time.
I feel you there.
So, yeah, I think that one fits perfectly. But, yes, this has been Tell Me a Joke, the Guideline of Chasing the Dream. And I have been your host, the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. And this has been Toby.
Thank you all very much.
Good night, everybody. Good night, good evening, good afternoon, however you feel about it.